Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will use this city as a tool of witness in the lives of those who are struggling to live godly for you. I pray that it will bring deliverance and set the captive free. Lord, as it goes beyond the prison walls, the highway and byways, that it will compel those to come unto you. Lord, those that are struggling, that they'll begin to live victoriously. And Lord, when that race is over and it is all finished, Lord, they can come unto you and you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name.
And we want to say to those that are here present and to those that are streaming live, we want to wish you a merry, merry Christmas. We want you to be blessed in this season where we are acknowledging the birth of Christ. We are, again, grateful and thankful to you. I appreciate the praise and worship team for inviting us into their space this morning in worship, and pray that, again, we continue to worship the Lord in the remainder of the service. If you would, I have some scriptures I'd like to share with you coming from the book of Matthew, the second chapter, verses 20. I stand corrected. Matthew, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. Matthew, second chapter, verses 1 through 12. And if you would, please rest on your feet. If you're here today and you don't happen to have a source of the scriptures, if you would just look up on the screen, they have posted that there in the media center. And just allow me to read this in your hearing as you read this silently. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Everybody say, they came from the east.
They came from the east.
Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, is the land of Judah, art not least among the princes of Judah? For out of these shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may worship him also. Verse 9, and when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream, they departed into their own country another way. Eternal God, we are grateful and thankful to you again, for this is the day that you have made. And Lord, we are exceedingly glad and we are rejoicing in the fact that we are, Lord, a day before your birthday. We acknowledge you, Lord. We appreciate you. And we want you to know, Lord, that we appreciate, God, your presence in this place. Now, Lord, let me be found decreasing as we watch you increase in this place. And Lord, if there are here those present that have never received you, never repented of their sins or been baptized in your name, let this be that day, Lord, that they come and Lord, acknowledge you. And if there are those that are on our live stream that have never repented of their sins or been baptized in Jesus' name, there is a church, not just here, but wherever you are, that you can go, and they will accommodate you. And may God fill you with the gift of his Holy Ghost. Amen. Before you seat, I just want to invite your attention very quickly back to the very first two verses. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. With the remaining time that I have, I want to minister to you this thought. Wise men still seek the king. Wise men still seek the king. God bless you. You may be seated. The words, these two words, wise men, translated magi. It refers to a group of men who may have studied the stars, which we refer to as astrology. Here we notice the wise men who were foreigners that came from the east. They traveled by way of camel. Listen to this. An estimated 9,125 miles. They rode 10 miles a day for 2.5 years just to get to where the baby, the child, Jesus would be. Now, mind you, they didn't have much biblical understanding or knowledge, yet they were the ones who were willing to set aside everything. Somebody say everything. Everything else in their lives just to truly seek after the king, which was to be born in the city of Bethlehem. Now, look at the stark difference. There's a difference. Watch this difference now. And the response of King Herod, who knew the Messiah and what his birth meant to the Jewish people. However, instead of rejoicing over his coming, he was willing to kill the baby Jesus because he viewed him as a rival, one who could take control away from him. Now, brothers and sisters, let's look at what we call Christmas and put it into a biblical perspective. First of all, there are no scriptures referencing in the Bible that says that Jesus was born on December the 25th. Amen. Talk back to me. No scripture at all. However, we've embraced and acknowledged the birth of Jesus Christ in Christendom and that it took place around the time of harvest season, giving us the appropriate or approximate, should I say, month that he was born. Therefore, we have a designated as believers December the 25th as the birth date of Jesus Christ. We celebrate him. Amen?
Amen.
And it's important for us to understand what we call Christmas and how we celebrate it. See, it is important to hear it, and it's important to understand it and to know it. You see, today is a far cry from what is intended to be. It's all now about commercialism. Hello. It's all about the dollar, the Benjamin, and the profits made on Christmas. If you go back into the account, the wise men came from the east to worship and to present their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to this baby, Jesus. And once again, allow me to point out that the scripture does not say that there are three wise men. Newsflash. No, it's referenced the three gifts that were presented to Christ, which were gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which is perhaps where we derive that there were three wise men. The scripture speaks of three gifts, but never tells us how many wise men there were. However, the Bible does speak of three shepherds that we find at the manger welcoming the baby Jesus, who was wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's found in Luke 2 and 12. And when the Magi had found Jesus, Somebody said they found him. Thank God. When they found Jesus, he was approximately 2 years old. And when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Matthew 2 and 11. You see, brothers and sisters, it was customary in those days in the ancient East for those who came into the presence of royalty or sought the favor of the monarch to present gifts. Somebody said, we need to give some gifts. Yeah, you stand before the king, you don't want to come empty handed. So the Magi, they opened up their treasure chest containing these valuables. From these, they presented the child, King Jesus, with the gifts that were prophetic symbols of the roles he would fulfill in his lifetime. Listen, the gold represented, that gold was a gift that represented royalty. It was presented to royalty, thus symbolizing Jesus' role as the long-awaited king of the Jews, the Messiah. The word frankincense refers to a tree and the incense made from its sap. The gift of frankincense suggested the divinity or the priesthood of the child as it was an incense burned on the altar. Myrrh. In similarity, extracted from tree rising, was an ointment. Now listen to this. It was used for burial. Isn't that something? All three of these gifts were prophetic. This one is used for burial. Even today in Africa, they use myrrh. It's much valued. It's a spice or a scented oil that still is used in many parts of Africa and Asia. Myrrh suggested the role that Jesus would pay as one who would die for the sins of the whole world. In John 1 and 29, it says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And in John 11, 49 through 40, 52, it says, and one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for all the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Now, the fact is that God, the creator of heaven and earth, came in the form of a baby born in a manger. Just stop and think about it a minute. A manger. A manger is a place where the stinky, smelly animals were kept. And as God the creator, he left his throne of glory to come in earth as a human being in the form of a baby. Think about that a minute. Here you have everything, the splendors of heaven, and you leave that to come into a stinky manger. Why did he do it? Perhaps to say it could be that I'm going to make sure I leave you with no excuses, because you know how we do it. You ain't been what I've been through. You don't know what I've been through. So perhaps he did that so we wouldn't be able to say, you don't know how I feel. He was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. He knows what we feel. He knows everything about us, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But if we chronicle the life of Jesus, he didn't stay a baby. Somebody say he didn't stay a baby. He became a man, and for 33 and a half years, he walked the earth and did what humans do, yet without sin. He thirsted, he hungered, and we find that demonstrated while one day he's going through Samaria we find him now sitting on Jacob's well, being wearied of his journey, asking of water of a Samaritan woman. John 4:4-8. So then all of the human attributes that we have, the Lord experienced. Please, somebody get that in your spirit. There's nothing that you're going through, will ever go through, that he had not already been there, done that. And allow me to use modern day vernacular, has the t-shirt to prove it. Lord help me right here now. See, if we look at this, he's experienced everything that we have. Now, let's get back to our text for a minute. So when the wise men came to Herod, they came and they said, "We're traveling from the east. We've seen this star and we want to know, where is this Jesus? Where is this baby found?" Why did they do that? Because in Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel." Emmanuel being interpreted means God is with us. So when the wise men came all the way from the east to behold the child, and so they fell down at his feet. Now he's with his mother. He's not a baby. Maybe he's about 2 years old. Herod now wants to know. Then Herod, he pulled them aside and he asked them, "The time, when did you see that star? What time was it?" And he sent them to Bethlehem, telling them to continue to seek the child until they found him, and then bring word back to him so that he might come and worship him also, because he knew that they would not stop until they found him. My God, I wish to God today there would be some here today who wouldn't stop seeking the Lord until you found him. Don't take it from me. Don't take it from your mom or your grandfather. Take it and find out for yourself. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. These wise men were relentless. Somebody said they were relentless. That means they didn't give up. They continued until they found him. They kept on going at all costs. That's why Herod said, "Once you find him, let me know also that I might come and worship him also." And you know that was a lie. He wanted to kill him. But he said, "Come on, make sure you let me know." The Bible lets us know this, that they followed the star until it stood over the house that the child was in. And when they were coming to the house, guess what? They saw the young child. In other words, they found Jesus. Somebody said they found him. You see, once you find Jesus, you'll never lose sight of him. I said this once, but it is worth reiterating. When I was brand spanking new, I was a babe in Christ. I never forget, I was staying with somebody, and he had a card, and he flashed it real quick, and he said, "What you see?" "A card." He said, "No, it's a name on the card. What you see?" And I mean, I kept looking. I couldn't. Maybe some of y'all ever seen this card. But you have to really focus in order to see what's on the card. And then after I realized what was on the card, it was Jesus. And then after that point, no matter where he flipped the card, how he turned it upside down, whenever I looked at it, I could see Jesus. I'm telling you, once you find Jesus, you'll never lose sight of. Oh, I wish I had me somebody to believe that. You will never lose sight of him. Brothers and sisters, guests or visitors, Jesus wants you to see him. He wants you to see that he's the king in your life. He wants you to see that he's your provider. He wants you to see that he's your all in all. And once you find Jesus, you'll never lose sight of him. The wise men, they found him, and they found the Messiah. They found the one that the scripture declared was coming. And when they found him, the Bible says they bowed down and worshiped him and offered him gifts. Now, maybe I can get some audience participation. Somebody shout, it's Christmas time. Oh, it's Christmas time. That means it's time for you to get those presents that you had on your wish list. Hello. Now, allow me to share with you the traditions, the traditional things that we get caught up in, we're wrapped up in. The trees, the tinsel, the gifts under the tree. Wait a minute, bro. Wait a minute, sis. Let's not forget whose birthday it is. And how many of you know that there's a gift that Jesus would like you to give him? Oh, it got quiet there. You know, one thing about gift giving, we don't mind being the recipient. We don't mind being the one getting. But when it's time to give, but brothers and sisters, Jesus would like you to give him something. Nobody can give this gift but you. And I know that all of us like gifts. Wait a minute. Let me rephrase that. Let me just put it this way. How many of you don't like to get gifts? Raise your hands. Make sure I clean my glasses off. Oh, I don't see no hands. Because guess what? Deep down inside, we all enjoy getting gifts. We enjoy opening them. It's the thrill of saying, wow, I didn't know that you would get this for me. But guess what? We're excited about it. And there's nothing wrong with that. We're excited about a gift. Well, I submit to you, brothers and sisters, Jesus is excited. Yes, he is. Jesus is excited. And guess what? Nobody can give this gift to him but you. Everybody point your finger up here at me. Facebook, YouTube, if I can get you to participate, point. And take that same finger and point it back to you. Nobody can give this gift to Jesus but you. You might be sitting here or visiting maybe through live stream saying to yourself, now what can I give Jesus? He's got everything. What could I possibly give to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the I am that I am? What can I give him that would be presentable? I'm here to tell you that Jesus is looking for a gift on his birthday too. T-O-O. Just as you were excited, waiting with great expectation and anticipation of receiving a gift, I believe also that the Lord is waiting with great expectation and anticipation for a gift that only you can give him. Let's be perfectly clear right now. I'm not saying that the Lord is saying this, but what if it was said, now this is my birthday. Nobody once said, happy birthday, Jesus. No one celebrated the fact that I came to earth in human form. It's my birthday, my celebration, and everybody's receiving gifts but me. They got all the gifts they wanted, but it is my birthday, and I want the gift that only you can give. Only you can give it, but you're withholding it. It's the gift that only you, you, and you can give. I submit to you, brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, Jesus wants from all of us our lives. Now, don't misunderstand. No, he doesn't want you to die. However, he does want you to die out to sin. He wants you to die out to the world. He wants you to die out to the secular mindset of Christmas and celebrate the real meaning of Christmas, which is
Jesus
Christ. And I admit to you, there are some of those who toss around this like some old cliche saying Jesus is the reason for the
season.
which is really
true.
Hello. And if we believe that, then why don't we give him what he wants? Stop and ponder that a minute. If we believe he's the reason for the season and he does want something from us, why are we withholding it? And what he wants is a life that's fully surrendered, fully yielded, fully sold out to him. The one who says, Lord, here I am, just as I am. I give you me, all of me, mind, body, and soul, to do with me as you please. Now, perhaps this account of an offering that was being received at a missionary church overseas will make this live for you. Now, keep in mind, these people in this region were destitute and without a lot, having very little much to give. So they were receiving the church offering, sort of much so how we will do at some point in time in service here at New Life. And the ushers were directing the people how to go down the aisles to give. And the officers, the deacons came down. Unlike New Life Ministries, they had these big hand-woven baskets. They were huge, and they stood in front of the people. And now, as they were standing there, there happened to be a child that was really listening to what was being said. And what had been said was, you really need to give Jesus. You really need to give to Jesus. So it was time for the little boy's row to go, and they were stepping out. People were putting their money in the offering. And as they were stepping out, the little boy, who was still sitting there, wondered within himself, what can I give to Jesus? He said it to himself. But then he knew it was time to give Jesus. So he walked down the aisle. And as he walked down the aisle, don't forget, these were big hand-woven offering baskets. And so he climbed into the basket. And as he climbed into the basket, the deacon looked at him. And he said, all I have to give Jesus is myself. He said, Jesus, I give you me. The wise men, they truly were giving of themselves because they left from where they were to go to where they needed to be to get what they needed. And what they needed was to behold the Savior and to be in his presence. How many of you know that in the presence of the Lord, there is a fullness of talk back to me, and that joy will forever change their lives? I want you to notice what the Bible said happened after they worshiped the Lord and presented unto him their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were warned of God in a dream not to return unto Herod, but to depart into their own country another way. Somebody say another way. The Bible said that they went another way. You might have come today to this particular service one way, but God wants you to leave another way. Come on now. God doesn't want you to leave here with the baggage of worry or despair and feeling that nobody cares. Jesus wants you to leave here another way, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. God wants you to leave here another way. Mm-hmm. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Brothers and sisters, Acts 2 and 38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He wants you to leave here another way. And in my closing, wise men then and now still seek after the king. Question on the floor is, what are you seeking? Facebook, YouTube, what are you seeking? Is it fame? Is it fortune? The Bible says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul, his own soul? Or what shall he give in exchange for his soul? Wise men still seek the king. How about you? Can I get you to stand? Wise men then and wise men now still seek the king. While you have life, health, and strength, while the blood is running warmly through your veins, while you are on the eve of the birth of Christ, you need to ask yourself, what am I seeking? Is it notoriety? Is it fame, fortune? Is it that people know me? Whatever it is, I'm telling you, only what we do for Christ will last. Everything else will burn up. It'll diminish. It's temporary. I pray right now that somebody is live streamed, somebody that's here present is asking yourself the question, an honest question. What am I seeking? Why am I still not fulfilled? Why is it that what I thought I wanted now doesn't appeal to me as much? What I thought I needed, I realize that's not what the Lord has for me. To thine own self be true, as this message is that type of message that should raise questions within us, which should challenge us and bring us to a place of literally soul searching. With every head bowed and all eyes closed, Father, we come before you, and this is not the typical Christmas message, because I know, Lord, you don't do things just to be doing them. You do them, Lord, with intent. You do them with purpose. And Lord, you knew who was going to be here today. You knew who was going to be viewing today. And I pray that this word, God, has come through, Lord, and convicted us, convinced us that we have to give an answer to the question, what am I seeking? If you're here today, live and in living color, you're able to walk down the aisles, please, sir, ma'am, know that there's aisles and this altar awaits you. For those that will come, know that there's somebody that will pray with you and believe God with you. And those that are there on live stream, make your home where you are your sanctuary, your place that you can bow down your knees right now. Maybe you're in the living room watching this. Maybe you're in the kitchen. Wherever you are, God, make it a place where you acknowledge, Lord, I need to answer your question. I'm seeking all of the wrong things. I'm in all of the wrong places. So, Lord, here I am, just as I am. I'm wearied. I'm worn. And I'm sad. How my life is. As these are coming down, they are being anointed with oil, because the Bible says, is there any sick among you? Let them call for the church. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Are you here today? As these are being prayed for, I'm quite sure that there's some in your seats, and for whatever reason, you're still there and you desire not to move. The Lord can meet you right where you are at your seat. Oh, yes, he can. He can come right where you are. Come on. Open up to Jesus right now. Be like the wise men. They came to seek the king. They didn't care how far it was. 9,125 miles by way of camel, riding 10 miles a day for 2.5 years just to get to Jesus. Don't let it be said too late. Don't let it be said too late. I know sometimes we think, well, I got plenty of time, preacher. No. The Bible says that life is like a vapor. We're here today and gone tomorrow. Come on. While you have an opportunity, while you still have a sound mind, people lose their mind every day. But while your mind is still sound and you can make that conscious decision, Lord, here I am. I want to turn from my wicked ways and I want to turn to you. Are you here?
Thank you, Father. I got to give you thanks. Because, Lord, everything that you have done, I didn't look at it now. I thank you, Lord, for the release of every chain. Everywhere I go, God, I got to give you praise. Because you have heard my cry. We have been smothered by the grace of God, and it has brought us joy. Therefore, Lord, we was able to make a joyful noise in this city. We have learned to forgive. And with that in mind, God, I just can't stop praising you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Amen.